and know that one day this life will be over. I'm not rushing to that day, my physical death, but I sure wouldn't mind the Lord coming back. And I'm glad that there's a day coming when we're all going home, aren't you? And I hope you don't feel at home here, because if you do, this might be your only home. But there's coming a day where we'll see the Lord. All right, Leviticus chapter number 6. Leviticus chapter number 6. And we're just thrilled to be here and to see everybody again. See familiar faces and new faces and older faces. Prettier faces and unique faces. Ain't that the way you say it? They're not old, they're mature. And there's all kind of political correctness. But it's just good to be with you. And we've been looking forward to coming. I always like coming here and fellowshipping with you all and seeing you again. I enjoy your pastor's fellowship, and I've always enjoyed him. I remember when we were there at that meeting that he mentioned this morning, and in Florida. That has been a good while back, hasn't it? And I believe it was in 87. I think that's when it was. And we were down in Florida, and we were talking about customs, different country and the customs and all. And your pastor, he was talking about the Micronesian custom, how that, if I'm not mistaken, if I got this right, that if you hurt yourself, you know, that they would actually laugh, you know, or do something that we wouldn't laugh at. When you hurt yourself, they would laugh. And we were talking about just different customs and all. Well, that night, they called him up to, I guess, to preach. I think the missionary would preach, each different missionary each night or something like that. And your pastor, he was sitting towards the back. And that church that we were at, you would come up on the side, and they had a decorative rail about 18 inches in the front, all the way around the front of the pulpit area. And when they called Brother Leafy to come up and speak, he got up, and he didn't run, but he came quickly. And I'm guessing his main hope was to clear that rail. I'm thinking that's what he was wanting to do. And he got out there and he jumped somewhat, kind of try to hurdle it. When he did, he didn't. And there he was, and the better side more visible to all the congregation. And he got up and said, now, of course everybody was not laughing, but then they started laughing, and he got up and he said, now that's what we were talking about today. I just wanted to give you an example of how we as Americans, we laugh as well when someone messes up. Just recovered from his fall, which I've always remembered that, as I'm sure he probably has too. But anyway, y'all didn't get it. It's funny, you had to see it, I guess. But it was humorous. All right, Leviticus chapter number 6. Well, let's begin our reading this evening in verse number 8. If you're physically able, I ask that you'd stand with us. Leviticus chapter number 6 and verse number 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night until the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garments and his linen breeches. Shall he put on his flesh and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. The fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not burn out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every day, every morning, and lay the burnt offering in the order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. send our reading there this evening and bow for prayer, and then you can be seated. Dear Lord, we're so grateful to be in your house this evening. We're thankful for another day of life. We thank you again, Lord, for the grace that you've showed us in saving us. Lord, thank you for the grace you've shown in this, our country. Thank you for our freedoms, and Lord, thank you for the birth of our nation many hundreds of years ago. Lord, thank you that we can assemble freely, and thank you for the soldiers that are even now fighting on foreign soil. Bless them and protect them. Give them victory, Lord, and may our nation continue to serve you. Bring our leaders, Lord, direct them in the way they should go, and may they turn to you, Lord, and be born again and have righteous judgment. Pray for this church and every member, every home, every individual. We pray you'd revive our hearts and our souls. We pray you'd help this moment here, that you burn something in our hearts that we may carry on for the rest of our life. We ask it all in Christ's wonderful name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. You know, there are some books in the Bible that are tremendous. Every book in the Bible is a wonderful book, and but there are some that are are harder to retain, if you will. And Leviticus, where the Lord begins to give the law towards the ceremonial law and the things in which His people, the Israel, were to abide by, and the ceremonies and the offerings and the altars and the different rituals and commandments. They're unique. As you study them, you find that it's so different in the dispensation in which we live. My, how it would have been to live in those days with all the offerings and the sacrifices and the things that had to be done. If you'll just read there in Leviticus, and read all through from Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and find out all that they did, it would have been an amazing life to have lived in that time and day. But we come here to where God is talking about the fire upon the altar. And you know that in Leviticus chapter 9, and I believe it's towards the end of the chapter, that God likes that fire. That fire came down from heaven upon the altar. And this fire, the Bible said, was to never burn out. What they were to do, the Bible plainly tells us, that they were to put the wood on the fire and change the garments and take the ashes out from the fire that had been burning, and to come back and put different clothes on and work there that the priest was to do the ritual or the commandment on the fire and on the altar. This fire, as I was studying about this fire, it's believed this fire never went out until the captivity that was under in Nehemiah's day, or when Nebuchadnezzar came and took them captive. I've read different commentators, and some of them say that it is believed that it was even hidden, this fire, in the caves after the captivity of Nebuchadnezzar. But we know that this fire was commanded to never burn out. Imagine all of the watch care, the nights and the mornings and the weather, the rain, and the wind that blew upon this fire, but it was to never go out. It never went out in all the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. It never went out when they came into God's promised land and they went and conquered the enemies. It never went out through all the life of Samuel and the kings, David and Saul and Solomon and all of those kings that were to follow. This fire had never was to go out. This fire can be a great type. It can be such used in all sorts and different typology. You can think about the fire being a type of that of the love of Christ. How that the love of Christ never burns out. Of all the winds and the opposition that we find in our day in which we live. All the wickedness of humanity. How that men are so depraved, and the sinful life that we see that people are displaying. And it's not hidden anymore, beloved. There's some that are here this evening, they can tell you about things that would not even been thought of when they were children. Even in my few years of life, how that times have changed with the publicity of sin and how that men not only commit sins, but they publicize it and they make merchandise off of it, and it's well accepted. But the love of God still burns fervent. And there's never a time in our day and hour in which we live that God won't forgive sinners of their sin when they come to Him and repent and trust Him to be their Savior. You can use that fire as a type of the love of Christ. You can use that fire as a type of the Word of God. How that the Word of God is, the Bible tells us, is sharper than any two-edged sword. How that it burns. It's a burning fire. It'll always conquer that in which it comes in contact with. What does the Bible say? That the Word of God shall not return void. It will accomplish that which it set out to do. I'm telling you, there's something about this Bible, dear friend, that is different than any other book. I remember when I came back from Africa as a teenage boy, and I lived with my older brother, and we lived in Greenville, South Carolina. We went there to Tabernacle Baptist Church and in college, and there was a restaurant there, just a country restaurant. And every Saturday, my brothers wouldn't work, and I wasn't working. I was in school and working during the week, and we would meet there at that little restaurant, and we'd have breakfast. And, you know, they're preachers, or we claim to be preachers anyway, and you know how preachers like to do. They like to discuss and find what they disagree on, and that's the major topic of the hour. And we would always bring our Bibles to that little country restaurant, and we'd sit around, and we'd read, and we'd talk over things. And we were sitting there one day. This was back before all this people was infiltrating on your liberties, and you could smoke wherever you want to smoke and all that, you know, but we won't get into all that. But we was there, and people were smoking here and doing all they wanted to do. And we was there eating, and we noticed there was a table from towards the back, and we had our Bibles out there, and while we was waiting on our food, we had them out. And there was a man that came walking. He was leaving, and he saw us there with our Bibles, and he picked up, he just casually walked by, and he picked up our Bible, not even asking. And he raised it up as high as he could, and he yelled back to one of the men sitting at his table. And he said, "Hey, Jim, this is what you need right here. This is what you need." And he handed our Bibles back, and he walked right out the door. And I thought, ain't that something? Boy, the power of the Word of God. There's no other book that is like this book that we have tonight. The Word of the Lord. It's so powerful that men are afraid of it to put it on the courthouses. Men are afraid just to read 14 short little verses. It's so powerful. And we could use that fire as the type of the Word of God. But I want to look at this tonight in a different light, if you will. And I want to call your attention where it says in the last verse, "The fire shall never go out." The fire shall never go out. You know, dear friend, that God has lit a fire in our hearts this evening. And that fire, we need to be cautious and concerned and very protective that fire that God's lit in our heart never burn out. Never burn out. And let me give you just a couple things this evening. The kind of fires we need to make sure that never go out. First of all, let me say the fire of your conversion should never burn out. The fire of your conversion should never burn out. I know that we're eternally saved. That when we get saved, we have eternal life. We don't get saved over and over again, but we believe in what we call eternal security. I like what this one preacher heard him say. He went to visit these church members. They were serving the Lord, and they got out, and they were backslidden, and they were living up like the devil. And he came upon them, and they were laying out there on the front yard and just drinking and carrying on, you know. And he went up there, and he was trying to talk to her about getting back to church. And she said, "Well, preacher, we believe like you believe. Once saved, always saved." And he said, "Well, ma'am, I have to admit I've changed my belief in that. I don't believe that anymore." She looked at him, and he says, "Ma'am, I believe if saved, always saved." And I believe that's the case. I believe if saved, always saved. We believe in eternal security. I mean, I'm not talking about losing your salvation But I'm talking about the fire that God lit in your soul when you got saved. The fervency that you had. The joy, the enthusiasm in which you had in serving God. When God saved us and when we became a new creature, the joy that flooded our soul. I mean, when God brought us in, Adam sinned and brought us in to the family of God, that fire should never burn out. You think about Paul the Apostle. As you follow his life through the Scriptures, you'll find that when he got saved on that road to Damascus, here he was, and you know the story. He was going out persecuting, trying to find those that were making much of the body of Christ, making much of the church. And his job, as you know, was to go out and find them and persecute them and put them to death. And then the blessed Holy Ghost of God, God shined that light down from heaven, and Paul was saved. But you'll find that Paul, throughout his ministry, you'll read in Galatians, you'll find throughout the book of Acts when he says that Paul always goes back to that Damascus road and tells them what happened to him when he was lost and how he got born again. What that was a fire that God lit in Apostle Paul's soul that he never got over when God touched his life. He never got over when God saved his soul. I'm telling you, beloved, if you don't watch it, the old cold winds of this world, all of the things that surround us, the busyness of life and the stresses of life, they will cause that fire that lit in our soul when we got born again. It'll cause it to burn out. I've been searching and looking for the illustration about Bob Jones, and I can't find it, but I've heard it several times, and I'll tell it as best as I remember. Bob Jones, the great Methodist preacher that he was, the wonderful man of God that he was, and you can hear him on radio in some areas where he gives that radio broadcast, and he was such a great man of God. But when he started Bob Jones University, and he lived a long time, and it showed that the last time, the illustration I can't remember well, that the last time that he ever spoke publicly to the university, he was getting Alzheimer's, and he was losing his mind and not able to really present himself, if you will. But they got him out there, and it was a large congregation, some special occasion. I don't know if it was a graduation or alumni meeting or their famous Bible conferences that they have. But whatever it was, that Brother Bob Jones was asked to come out. And they brought him out there, and he shuffled his feet to the platform, and he grabbed a hold of the platform, and he said, you know, I don't know why they asked me to come out here. He said, but I remember when I was 12 years old, and the Lord saved me. And he went into his testimony for just about 4 or 5 minutes, and then he stopped. And he says, you know what? I don't know why they asked me to come out here. He said, but I remember as a 12-year-old boy when I was lost and got saved. And he gave his testimony about 4 or 5 minutes, and then he stopped. And then he says, you know what? I don't know why they asked me to come out here, but I remember as a 12-year-old boy when God saved me. And he gave his testimony. They let him do that for about 4 or 5 times, and then they graciously and politely and very etiquettely, they came up there and escorted Dr. Bob Jones off the stage. And that's the last thing he said to a public gathering at Bob Jones University. You know what God did to that man? He lit a fire in his soul when he's 12 years old and he got born again. And that man, although Alzheimer's kicked in and his body wasn't very well, he never let that fire, when God saved him, ever burn out. My dear friend, you and I need to be very conscious and very protective of the fire that God burned in our soul when we were converted, that it never burn out. Oh, don't ever let the fire of your conversion burn out. Secondly, don't ever let the fire of your call burn out. The fire of your call. I believe tonight that God has called a lot of people that's never answered the call. I believe God has called a lot of individuals this evening that are sitting in church pews throughout this nation that God had called them into some line of service, and that perhaps they got busy with preparing for that service. Maybe they got busy working a job, trying to get the ends to meet, trying to get all their ducks in a row, and they got so busy doing that they let the fire of that call burn out. Perhaps God has called them to the mission field. Maybe God's called them into the ministry. Maybe God's called them to do something. Maybe God's called them to do something around the church. But somehow or another, they got so busy and so entangled that the fire has burned out of that coal. I've got a friend in our area. I'm really more of a friend to his son. His son's a little older than I am, but his dad. Years and years ago, as the story's been told to me, years and years ago, his dad was called to preach. And he wanted to preach. And he went and began to prepare to preach. But he had his wife, and his wife wasn't very cooperative. His wife gave him a little hard time, and not so much as she's going to leave him, but was opposition to him, and said, you know, we need to make sure that we have things around the house. We need to, you need to work. We need to wait a while before you commit yourself to that call. And that man got so busy trying to fulfill that wife's obligations and got so busy working that he never got into the ministry that he felt like God had called him to get into. Oh, he got him a good job, and he works at the hospital. Got a good job, but he never committed to that call. What this preacher told me, he says that man that never committed that call, he'll get in his bedroom at night, and he'll sit down and he'll study his Bible, and he'll write sermon outlines, and he'll write sermon thoughts, but he never answered that call. He still has it in his soul. He still has that calling on him. You see, when God calls, what does it say? The gifts and callings of God, God don't repent against them. He don't take them back. And there's a lot of people that God has called that they've let the fire burn out of that calling, beloved. I'm telling you this evening, it would amaze us, maybe even in this congregation, that people that God has called them to do, God has called you to teach a Sunday school class, God has called you to do something around the church, and you felt that burden, you know that impression. I'm not talking about God's called you to go overseas necessarily, or God's called you to some full-time service somewhere in some other geographical location. There's been people that God has impressed, and God has burdened, and God has called them to do something around the church, but they have let that call burn out. I'm telling you, John the Baptist was called of God, wasn't he? John the Baptist had a hard time toward the end of his life. Wow, what a preacher that he was. I mean, he stood up in the king's face and told him that you're living in adultery. That you got somebody you ought not to have living in your house. John the Baptist was cast into prison. Now his prison wasn't like our prisons today. He was cast in prison. John the Baptist began to think about that call. He said, go out yonder and ask him. Said, are you the one that is to come, or should we look for another? I believe maybe the fire began to flicker. Maybe it was beginning to die down a little bit. And John was wanting to pour a little gas on the fire. He said, go out yonder. How in heaven's name is this man put in prison going to be out to go yonder and prepare a way for anybody else but you? He said, go find out. Is he one, or should we look for another? He came back and he said, oh, he's the one. The blind are seeing, the dumb are talking, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking, and the poor receiving the gospel. Boy, that fire went a-burning again in his soul. What did Jeremiah say? Oh, what a... Have you ever read about those prophets? Oh, beloved, there's great truths in those great prophets in the Bible. Jeremiah, what a preacher that he was. I mean, he was a preacher, and he faced opposition. He wrote the Word of God, and people heard it that was in leadership. They said, oh, give us that. The kings are you happy to hear about that. And they took it to the king's winter palace, and all he did was make fun of it and tear it and throw it in the fire. And Jeremiah, that weeping prophet, he wept so much that the Lord let him write a book about his tears in the book of Lamentation. Jeremiah was put down. The Bible said that he sunk down in the mire, put down in that well. That old Ethiopian and others came and got him out. And Jeremiah said, I'm going to quit. Had enough of it. Had enough of them Sunday morning Baptists. Had enough of them old people that don't want to hear nothing about God. He said, I'm sending my ordination papers back. I'm selling my commentaries on eBay. I'm out of it, man. I'm done. I'm finished with it. He said, oh, but there was a fire that was burning in my bones. He wouldn't let that fire, the call that God put on him, burn out. And beloved, I don't know who you are this evening and what kind of call that God's put in your life. Young people, I'm telling you what a fertile ground you have. I mean what a tender heart you're likely to have. And if God perhaps has called you into something, don't let that fire burn out. Don't let the old world and the entertainments of the world and the pressures of society and all the opposition that you find, don't let that fire burn out that God's called you. Oh, beloved, if God's called you to something, I'm thinking about those old missionaries. You know, the Moravian missionaries. Back when the Moravian missionaries, they had a burden for the world. And I believe there was 26 of them. They got together and began to pray. And this was one of the verses that they quoted, one of the verses that they looked to about the fire burning out. And they wanted to tell the world about Christ. There wasn't no BIMI in Macedonia. There wasn't no prayer letters to send out. They didn't have churches having missions given on Sunday evening going to send to the Moravians to help them send the gospel around the world. No such thing. Those Moravians, 26 of them, they want to let the gospel. I'm telling you, beloved, do you understand what I'm talking about? There wasn't nobody else doing it. That was a pilgrimage. That was somebody that was going out on a venture. That wasn't happening back then. Had no role models to follow, but they knew the world needed to hear about Christ. God put a call on them. Two of them. 24 of them, I believe it's 26, 24 of them died, never really got out. David Brainerd and the rest of them, they died, and the Ravens, 24 of them died, but two of them went to, I forget the nation they went to, but they found out that they could sell themselves into slavery and evangelize that part of the world. And they came back to their homeland and they sold their possessions to go sell themselves into slavery to be the missionaries to the lost. There was no furloughs. There was no survey trips. They sold themselves into slavery. Why, beloved? God put a call on them and they didn't want that call to burn out. A fire of the call. Don't let that fire that God has called you burn out. Don't let the fire of your conversion burn out. Don't let the fire for your community burn out. The fire for your community. The Lord had a fire for the community, didn't He? How many times do you read the words about when Christ saw the multitude? When Christ looked on the multitude. The Bible says many times that He looked on them and with compassion. He never let the fire of those surrounding Him burn out. The Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. And I know when we say that, we think about some little black kid over in Africa somewhere. Without a vision, he's going to perish. And I know we think about some Eastern person over there bowing down to some god. Or we think about some Muslim somewhere being a suicide bomber. We think about foreign missions when we hear that verse. And that's true. Without a vision we have for the world, they'll perish. I'm going to tell you, without a vision for your community, this church will perish. This church can't survive without a vision for the community. I believe this church was birthed out of a tent meeting, if I'm not mistaken, or something similar to that. But somehow or another, 19, however many years ago it was, this church was birthed because they had a burden for the community. Every church that is come across, that it started biblically, it started from a burden. Now, I know there's a lot of churches started from bickering. But a church that started biblically started because of a burden. Somebody had a burden. Sometimes it's a man. My brother pastors the only Baptist church in his county in Virginia. Only independent Baptist church in his county. And my wife was born and raised in that church. But that church was started because of a man. Melvin Prince, I believe 20-some, 30-some years ago, He got saved and God called him to preach, and he went, at that time, Liberty Bible Institute. There was no university. He went to Liberty Bible Institute and come back and started a church in that little town. And it's been there for 20-some, 30-some years. Out of an old dance hall. Got an old dance hall and started a Baptist church in it. And it's still going on because a man have a burden. Sometimes it's a group of individuals. The church we go to, it's 66, 67 years old, and it was started from a group of individuals in that little community. They got together and they called a Methodist preacher and a Baptist preacher. They liked the Baptist better, so it became a Baptist church. They had a burden for that. Now we got Baptist doctrine. But it started because a group of individuals had a burden. And any church that is started right it started because of a burden. And we need not to forget the burden. We need not let the fire for the community burn out. Do you know how many churches tonight are satisfied with who comes in? They're so satisfied with what they're doing, they forgot the surrounding community. Beloved, that's not what made the church here. That's not how the church got started. That's not how the church was founded. The church was founded because somebody had a burden for the community. The church will die if it loses its burden. If the fire burns out for the your community, the church is nothing more than just a fake fire. Nothing more than just a social club. It's nothing more than just a gathering to see what everybody's doing. This isn't a support group. You don't come in here to find out how everybody can build up your ego. Thank God for the support and the fellowship and friendship we have in the church. But that's not what it's about. The church is here as a representative of Christ. We are ambassadors. And we're to talk about the Lord's business. And the Lord thinks a lot about souls. We need not let the fire. Oh, beloved, listen. I'm talking about you want to see God do something in your area. Just let somebody rekindle the fire or fan the fire that's already burning for the community. I'm telling you, you'll see something. Oh, you say, preacher, we're living in the Laodicean age. We're living in the Laodicean. Our people are cold on God and hearts are cold. Well, you can't deny that. I mean, you can't get around that. We live in a cold. I remember I was preaching in Danville, Virginia. And I was preaching there for, I love to preach for this preacher. He's an older man. He's in his, close to his 80s and he's been around all, run around church all his life. So he's able to reach back into the past and he's pulled some of that old stuff with him and brought it. There's not many preachers that I know of like him. Him and I were talking. He was telling me how, and when he was a boy, he went to see Bob Jones Sr. preach. His mama was a Methodist. He told me he went to see Bob Jones Sr. preach. He said that church he went, it was packed. Packed. People sitting in the aisles. People sitting on the pews. People sitting in the front. People sitting on the stage. People sitting in the choir. People sitting in the vestibule. And he said they had an 8-foot by 8-foot square that they let Brother Bob Jones have where nobody's sitting. He talked about how that preacher preached. But anyway, I preached for him when they was voting in this Obamacare and this socialized medicine. When they was voting that. You remember they voted that on Sunday? I got done preaching and him and I were talking. We were talking about the church and how it is. He said, you know, people used to come to church when I was a boy because there wasn't nothing else to do. There were no ball games going on. There wasn't no races. There wasn't no shopping going on. People used to come to church just because there was nothing else to do. They didn't work. He said, you know, there's so much going on today. And he told me this, and it struck my heart. I thought about it. He said, you know what, brother? He said, I bet you there was more people in this church this morning that was more concerned about if health care was going to pass than there were if the Lord was going to pass by our service this morning. You know what I thought? He's probably right. It's probably true. It's probably true. And we live in a day, we live in an hour when the fire for the Lord in our community is burning out. In this old world, dear friend, we need not to forget that we are surrounded by the lost world. Like, what's his name? The great Marine. Said, you know, the one they look up to. One of the great generals or soldiers. He said, son, we're surrounded by the enemy. Don't let one of them escape. We're surrounded by the enemy, beloved. We need not to let one of them escape to hear the gospel. We don't let the fire burn out for the community. Don't let the fire burn out for those that are lost around us. They need to hear the gospel. And if we don't have a fire in our soul, they'll not hear it. If we get satisfied with what we're doing, if we get satisfied with having the things of the church that we can entertain, and that's where the church is at today. Everybody wants to be entertained. These so-called gospel singing groups got these diesel sniffers. They follow them all over the country. Hearing all these singers get up there and sing. All these overpaid entertainers. That's what the church is at. That's where it's at. We got a church in our area. It's a great independent Baptist church, and they had a Southern Gospel group in, and the church was full. People want to be entertained. Honey, they'll drive 200 miles to hear Bill Gaither and them overpaid people sing. They won't drive 25 minutes Sunday night to come to church. Why is that? Because the fire is burned out for the community. They don't care about the lost world like they ought to. And the church is not going to survive if it don't have a fire burning for the lost. It cannot survive. It cannot continue. The building can be full. All the bills be paid. I'm telling you, we can be running out our ears with members, but that's not the church. The church, my dear friend, is those that are working for God, the bride of Christ. I'm telling you, we need to have a fire for our community, and don't let it burn out. You heard the illustration. I can't get hung up. I got to move on, but you heard the illustration. There was a man that started a church. He had a burden for the community. He got out knocking doors, trying to win the lost. Got him a little group of people together. Had a storefront building. Remember years ago, that's how they used to start churches in storefront buildings. I remember with education, we went to a lot of storefront buildings. Had a little storefront building church. And on the back of the wall, he put, where there is no vision, the people perish. Started that church. Boy, they went out and they knocked on the door. They tried to win the walls. They was out busy. Church grew. Money came in. They bought an official land building, a building. Nice piece of property back on the back. Here there is where there is no vision, the people perish. Boy, and they got people in there, and they got everything going. They got Christian school going. They got teen youth groups going. They got senior saints going, and all this. And they forgot about the lost. They weren't out. They were so busy trying to keep the teens happy and keep the senior saints enthused that they forgot about the lost. They would come to the church to do a work day and kind of spruce up the place, and they noticed that when they walked in, the W had wore off. And now it said, here there is no vision. The people perish. Listen, we need not let the fire burn out for our community. Don't forget, that's what brought us here. That's what got us here this evening. That's why this church is here. Because somebody had a fire burning their soul for the community. Somebody had a fire burning their heart for the lost around them. That's what got us where we're at. Because somebody had a fire. Don't let it burn out. Don't let the fire for your community burn out. Don't let the fire for your church burn out. Renew your burden for the fire of the church, that you might love the house of God. That you might love it. I tell you, we ought to love the church, beloved. The church ought to be not on top of our list. It ought to be the list in which everything else is on. The church is our, it's not just a part of our life, it ought to be our life. The church. Everything we do is regulated around the church. I mean, that's the end of it. We don't put nothing above the church. We don't put our work, our entertainment, our fun, or nothing comes above the church. The church ought to be our life. It's the bride of Christ. The family of God, and we need to have a fire burning in our hearts for the church. And lastly, don't let the fire for Christ burn out. The love that you have for the Lord, fire for Christ. You've heard the saying, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's the truth, isn't it? We can't deny this one truth about that statement. We only have one life. And a lot of you can testify it will soon be passed. But the truth tonight, only what's done for Christ, that's going to last. All that's going to matter. You know, the disciples, when the Lord was crucified, remember that when the Lord was telling them about His crucifixion, that Peter said, Lord, we're not going to let that happen. No. And look, Peter denied Him. And what did the Bible say? That they'll smite the shepherd and the sheep shall scatter. And they scattered. Peter He got discouraged and he said, fellas, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to the old life. The Lord's gone. It's all in vain. I'm going fishing. One day they was walking down that road and the Lord appeared to them. And the Bible said he began to reveal to them the scriptures. And then he faded away. He left them. What is that familiar, wonderful thought? They said, did not our hearts burn within us? Did not our hearts burn within us? See what had happened. That fire that they had burning was flickering. Christ came by and he began to fan that fire. And he said, did not our hearts burn? You know tonight, beloved, maybe we need to fan the fire. Don't let the fire burn out. Nothing is so sad than when you see a Christian and his fire has burned out. I was in West Virginia back in May preaching revival. This preacher I was preaching for, he took me to a plumbing business. It was just a little small plumbing business, and the man that owned it he said, I want you to go in here and talk to this man. We went in there and we began to talk to him, and he said, you know, brother, he said, I ain't been in church in 2 years. He said, I used to pastor a church. And this man began to tell me the story. His little daughter had gotten some kind of sickness, awful fatal disease. Boy, they begin to pray. He's pastoring. They begin to pray, and God healed that little girl. She got well. They got in church serving the Lord. He's pastoring. Well, she got a scholarship. Charles Wesley University or whatever it is. And she got a scholarship for something from this university. So he resigned this church and they moved to this town and he began to pastor another church. And this little girl, she took up with some boy, and this boy wasn't no good. He's on drugs, got her on drugs. He walked into his plumbing business one day to found that they had, both of them had broken in. Caught them red-handed, stealing material and copper and stuff to sell to get more drugs. And she ran off, been gone for 2 years. I ain't seen her in 2 years. And he said, I got bitter on God. He said, I ain't been to church in 2 years. I invited him to the revival meeting. That pastor's invited him to church numerous times. I walked out of there and I thought, ain't that sad? I'm not saying I'm better than him or that couldn't happen to me. I'm telling you, it's sad to see a Christian that the fire that burned for Christ has burned out. Beloved, we live in the day where there's all sorts of opposition to quench that fire. You better fan it every time, every chance you get. You say, oh, but brother, I've been serving God. I'll never forget a man, a missionary. I'll never forget. I was talking to him about a situation, and he held his Bible up to his chest, and he said, oh, brother, I'm going to serve God. And he wasn't a young man. He said, I'm going to serve God. I've got this book right here. I'm going to serve God. No matter what, I was talking to him about a preacher that was discouraged and went over to his house, and he's weeping and crying. And I was trying to tell him this, hoping that he'd get a burden for him and pray for him, and he had a bitter spirit against him. And he held his Bible to his chest and said, I got this book right here, and I'm going to serve God. Serve God. And it went 3 years later. His wife ran off with one of my best friends. She was twice his age. Left him with them 6 kids. He got out of church. Don't go to church now. His kids out to the world. None of them's in church. He thought he could charge hell with a water pistol. Thought he could do it all himself. What he had was a bonfire at the time, and he didn't realize that thing was going to have some opposition. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. You better make sure you fan that fire every chance you get. The Bible tells us that Solomon, when he was an old man, that his heart was turned from the Lord. Not a young man. As a young man, he wrote Proverbs. What wisdom from that book we find. But yet, as an old man, the Bible tells us his heart turned from the Lord. He quit fanning the fire. You better fan the fire. You better not let it burn out. It'll burn out as sure as the world if you don't tend to it. If you don't nurture it. Don't let the fire burn out. God help us. Let's bow our heads. Father, help me not to let the fire burn out in my soul. Lord, you know the opposition we face every day in this old world. Help us, Lord, to burn fervently for Thee. I pray we'd be sensitive during these moments of invitation in Christ's name. Let's stand to our feet, if you will. We're going to have a verse of invitation. What page number?
324.
Page 324. Perhaps you need to come this evening. Maybe you need to come fan the fire. Maybe you need to come ask God to light a fire.